I was saying.
Hallelujah, Lord God. That's an oldie but goodie. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know how many of you understood those words, but the Bible tells us that the steps of a good man or woman are ordered by God. And I pray that you all are praying that God would order your steps. Because there's so many things in this world that will distract you. But if your steps are ordered by God, if your steps are ordered by God, and you are moving in obedience to God, you will be blessed. That's all I can say. So I pray that you all understood what the choir ministered to us this morning. Truly, that's a message in itself without anything else if your steps are ordered. And then the promise that I'll praise your name. Amen. I will praise your name. Let us pray. Our Father and our God. Our helper, our protector, our shield, our rock, our refuge, our shepherd, our all in all. We bow this morning once again to thank you, Lord God, for another day of life. God, we do not take it lightly because it did not have to be. But because of your grace, because of your mercy, because of your loving kindness, because of your faithfulness to us, you have allowed it. So God, we bow to say we are sorry. God, we have sinned against you and others. But God, we say this morning, we are sorry. God, we have fallen short of your glory. God, we're sorry. We're sorry, God. Forgive us, Lord God. And create in each one of us clean and righteous hearts. God, order our steps, Lord God. And we stand in a church, as a church body, and say, we'll do your will. Because truly the world is ever changing, God, but you remain the same. So, God, we bow this morning and I'm committing, Lord, to do your will. God, yes, Lord, to your will and yes, Lord, to your way. God, help us all be doers of this word. God, help us to stop playing church. Help us to stop just showing up on Sunday morning and walking out the same, Lord God. Help us, God. Now, God, if there be anything in me that's not like you, I ask that you strip it away right now in the name of Jesus, that I may hear clearly from you, God. And if you give it to me, God, I will declare to your people. So, Holy Spirit, have your way in this place. Encourage your people. Empower your people. Comfort your people. Heal your people. Do what only you can do, which is meet our needs. Let your presence, your power, your anointing, and your glory be felt throughout this entire building. It is in the name of Jesus the Christ we pray. Let us say together, amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Our message this morning is a familiar passage of Scripture. It is from the Gospel according to John. The Gospel according to John. So when you have found the Gospel according to John in your Bibles, I ask that you stand and turn to chapter 10. This is the Word of God for the people of God this morning. The Gospel according to St. John, chapter 10. And I pray that God's word will do what it does, which is heal us, empower us. And we're going to be reading just one verse. So I ask for your patience, your attention, and your obedience as you open your Bible to John 10. And we're going to read together, whatever version you have, 10:10. Let us read. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that you may have life and have it, but you may be seated. That is our word today. And in the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible, it reads, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. You must understand that, people of God, and who the thief is. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus said, hallelujah, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. As we celebrate our fourth church anniversary, and we thank God for his grace and his mercy, and reflect on the scripture which we established this church, God has a question for us this morning. Our church name is Abundant Life Christian Ministries. So God is saying to each one of us, are you living an abundant life? You come each Sunday, and even the musicians are now playing a song about welcome to abundant life. So God wants each of us to reflect on this question. And it's also our title this morning. Are you living an abundant life? I don't encourage you to say anything to your neighbors because I think it's so important that everybody search their own hearts. We are here to develop in this word so that we may go out and minister to others. So when we come here, it is a reflection time for each of us. God, help me. Lord, I don't have time to talk about anybody or say anything about anybody. Lord, help me. Like Erica was singing and the choir was singing, order my steps, Lord God. So God is saying to us, with all the stuff you talk about and all the things you tell people about in your church, put that mirror in front of yourself this morning and ask yourself, am I living an abundant life. As I pray to God this week for the message for us, and I do that each week, I went through a series of scriptures and titles, and I searched, but it's only what God gives me for you all and for us that I try so hard to declare each Sunday. So late last night, once again, after searching all week for the message, God said, ask the people, are you living an abundant life? God is saying to us this morning, I am God. I am aware of the Ebola crisis that exists in the world and even in the United States. He said, I am God, and I know people are concerned and worried about it. See, he doesn't want us to forget that I am God, and I'm aware of the group called ISIS and all the violence against humanity. But I'm God, and I'm aware of even the violence in your communities. People of God, he said, I am God, and I know about the black on black crime. Yes, I am God, and I know about the injustice that occurs in the justice system. But don't forget, he's saying to us this morning, I am God. And I know about the injustice against young African-American men and minorities in the U.S. But don't forget, people of God, I am God. I am aware of the domestic violence in many homes. I know about the women and men that are abused by others. Yes, I am God, and I know about the murder suicides. I am God, and I know about your personal struggle. I know about your loneliness. I know about your depression. I know about your alcoholism. I'm God, and I know about the drug addiction. I know about the sinful behavior. See, I am El Shaddai. I am the Almighty God. I am Jehovah Jireh. I am your provider. See, you need to get this in your spirit. He said, I'm Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and I'm the end. So in the midst of all that's going on in the world, I want to know, are you living the abundant life? I am aware of what is going on in this world. That's why I am sending specific messages to abundant life. I sent you a message about in the meantime. I sent the message about fear factor because I don't want you to be fearful. I don't give you the spirit of fear. And last week I gave you the message, the other side of midnight. See, I want you to be empowered with this word because many things are going on in this world. So despite that, abundant life, are you living the abundant life that Christ died that you may have? So as we reflect on this question, and I would say make it personal. God said, I created the heaven and the earth. He said, remind them as they look at what's happening around them that I give strength to the weary. And I increase the power of the weak. He said, remind them that I said, do not fear. For I am their God and I am with them. Remind them, do not be dismayed. For I am their God. For I am the Lord. I sent Jesus. See, I don't know who's this for, but he said, I sent Jesus. And do not be concerned about whatever is going on in this world. I sent Jesus. So we need to get that in our spirits. I don't know who this is for. But God is saying this morning, I sent Jesus that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. So let's just go back to our question because God keeps putting that in my spirit. Ask yourselves or yourself, am I living an abundant life? And if not, why? 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 See, I'm not sure about what you all think or what we think when you hear abundant life. Many people began to think about stuff. They think about how much of this I have and am I looking fresh this morning? How much money do I have in the bank? Do I have the latest and the greatest of this? Do I have a big home, big car, plenty of food? Many people think about material things. And even church folk, many people determine whether a church is abundantly blessed based on the three B's. They look at the size of the building. They look at the size of the budget. Help me, Holy Spirit. They look at the number of bodies attending the church. However, in this text, Jesus is not talking about money or material wealth. He's talking about something that's so much more valuable. He's addressing your relationship with God. He's talking about the abundant life that comes from having a personal relationship with him. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about this morning? Stop focusing on stuff and start focusing on God. Come on, help me now this morning. Does anybody agree with me this morning? And sometimes it's so hard to do just that. In Sunday school this morning, I asked the question, why is it so difficult for Christians to follow this word and apply this word to their lives? And we were comparing them to the Amish. How they are so disciplined and they follow their teaching. But God is saying to us, we must be doers of this word. If we're going to go somewhere and use his name, don't shame my name based on what you're doing and what you're saying. If you choose to live an abundant life, you must follow this word. If you plan to tell someone else about your Jesus, you must look like what this word say we're called to be. Come on with me now. This is a hard message for me Because sometimes I think I'm whipping you all up with the word. But God is saying, I sent Jesus to die so that you could be whole. I sent Jesus to die so you can live the abundant life. So what is the challenge? What is the challenge? What is the challenge, people of God? And I'm talking to all of us. Minister Shirley suggested this morning it had something about operating in the flesh. Help me, Holy Spirit. God wants us to be empowered. God loved us so much that he sent Jesus to die for us. So this is a message straight from heaven. Say, I loved you. Even in the middle of your mess, I love you. I love you, and I want the best for you. Are you living the abundant life? Hallelujah. A message is written by the Apostle John, and many of you have heard information about him. According to him in his writings, Jesus is the Son of God. He wants us to know that Jesus is the Savior of the world. And Jesus is the way to an abundant life. So as we look to the Bible during that period, why did God think it was necessary to send Jesus down to earth to show us how to live? The Bible tells us, if you read this Gospel of John, that the Jews questioned Jesus' authority and his identity. See, they appointed themselves as the persons responsible to identify who was called by God. So therefore, they declared, this is not the Messiah, for he's a heretic. But during this first century, and even people now today, I'll just say that, don't believe in Jesus. Many are waiting for the Messiah, and many don't even think God exists. But during this first century, as they waited for the Messiah to come, the Bible tells us in John, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. Can we still say that today? The Spirit of God is with us, and some are still waiting, but he's right here with us. The Holy Spirit lives with us, and they're still waiting. Not so different, but Jesus, the Son of God, he came walking and he came talking to teach us how to live. He was telling them how you could have an abundant life. So he saw firsthand what the people were going through. He found them in the temple of God selling oxen and sheep and doves. And he saw money changers doing the business in the house of God. And he went on to chapter 3 and he had a visit from Nicodemus, a Pharisee. You all know about Nicodemus. He tiptoed at night to have a little talk with Jesus because he didn't want anybody to know that he wanted a word from God. It is secret, Christians here. Not an abundant life, of course. Then he went on in chapter 4. This is what Jesus observed back then. He talked to this Samaritan woman. He told her that she had had 5 husbands. And the one she had now wasn't hers. But see, Jesus was walking. He had a mission. And he was just going through the earth. He met a nobleman that had a son, and he healed him. Chapter 5, they say he was at the pool of Bethesda, healed a blind man. went on to chapter 7, he got into a fight once again with the Pharisees and the religious leaders. But it was trouble and brokenness all over the place, wherever he traveled. But Jesus moved about the people that were downtrodden. He moved around people that were brokenhearted. He was there with the diseased and the poor and the sinners. He didn't turn his head when he saw somebody going through. He didn't ignore them when he saw the homeless laying on the street. He didn't ignore them when someone said that they were hungry. See, he came to show us how to live the abundant life. Does anybody understand where I'm going this morning with this? Basically, you're going to have to decide to follow Jesus if you're going to lead the abundant life or live the abundant life. Just like the people of that century, our world today has many challenges. Some things have not changed. We have issues, y'all. We have issues, and we need Jesus. We need Jesus, and that's what God knew. That those people down there, they can't get it right. They need Jesus. So the question is, once you accept Jesus, will you follow his way? Will you pray that he would order your steps in his will? Today we hear 24/7, turn the TV on, about Ebola. Now we have an Ebola czar. And he's going to monitor the challenges of this disease. And the world is watching, what will ISIS do next? See, I believe God is still in control. Anybody with me this morning? God is still in control. With all this stuff that's going on, people are putting systems in place. And all these issues impact the people of God. But God is still asking, are you living the abundant life? In the middle of everything that's going on, are you living the abundant life? Many may think, how can we live an abundant life with all this drama and all these issues in the world? You see, over 2,000 years ago, people were still struggling with issues and more issues. But the good news is this, and I'm not going to keep you long, is that God so loved the world, and that includes you and me, that he sent his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him shall have everlasting life, and you get to live this abundant life. But do you believe this word? See, that's what God is saying to us this morning. I've done it all already. Abundant life is approaching 4 years. I want you to be a light to others. But before you can do that, you must live the abundant life. You must live the abundant life. And you cannot be ashamed of this gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus make it so clear. If you have not highlighted in your Bible, I ask that you do that this morning. John 10:10. Our church stands on that word, that Jesus came that we may have life and that we may have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. I pray, God, your word is doing what it is to do in this place this morning. Because this is not about me, but there's something going on in abundant life that God wants us to make a change. He wants to shift some stuff in here so that he can build us up to be truly this great church, serving him as our great God. Following the great commandment and the great commission. Is anybody with me this morning? See, God walked the earth in flesh just for us, correcting and directing the people. But he left us an example in his word. Hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. So I do believe we have some great days ahead of us. And we have much to celebrate on this fourth anniversary. Because the same Jesus that was healing and teaching and preaching in that first century is the same Jesus that leading and directing us if we walk in obedience to his word. So our relevant question as we leave here this day is really, am I living an abundant life? Am I focusing on this word? Am I studying his word? And am I applying it to my life? And can anybody tell that you're doing that? Really? 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 Because the Bible tells us that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He said, repent and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. And most of us have done that. I believe all of us are saved. But we have a call greater than just saving ourselves. What does the Great Commission tell us? Go and tell somebody. Teach somebody about my goodness. You have a greater call than to save yourself. Anybody understand that this morning? It's not just about you. It's about God, people of God. It's about God. But in order for you to instruct anybody, we say it all the time, you've got to study this word for yourself. And not only know it, then you got to believe it. This is your operating manual. Let's just talk a little about this. Does everybody have a Bible of their own? Because if you don't have the Word of God at home, I will buy you a Bible. This is the Word of God. This is how you are to operate in times of trouble. Whatever comes your way, the answer is in the Word. And that's how you live the abundant life. For example, when you buy that new cell phone, that new HD, is it DTV? There is an operating manual on how you operate. And as soon as you get it, you open your manual and you read it because you want that thing to work. So if you're going to do what God has for you, you're going to have to open this book. And not just on Sunday morning when the pastor gives you a scripture to read. God help me because this is not on my paper. But God is saying if you want to know how to operate, if you want to know how to live the abundant life, read my word, study my word, know my word, and most of all, believe my word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. Oh, yes, God, I know you have great work for us. So he's simply equipping us. So we all have to get with us. This is not just for the preacher or the preachers. This is for all of us. We're in this thing together. God is saying, I want to be first in your life. If you're going to be able to do my will here in this corner, in this bar, and in the world, you must put me first. God is saying you should have no other God before me. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the stuff you're chasing, I'll provide for you. Hallelujah. Just an example. When you want a relationship to work, what do? You spend time with that woman or that man. When you're pursuing a career, what do you go to school, you open those books and you study. So if you want a relationship with God and you want to be healed and whole, you have to study that word. Anybody you love, you spend time with them. Come on, married folk, dating people, whomever. If you want a relationship to work, you have to spend time. And if you love them, but you spend time. So this morning, I asked you all one more time, do you love God? Do you love God? How much time do you spend with him daily? He gets you up in the morning. He gives you the breath of life. How much time do you spend with God daily? Check yourselves out. Don't look at your neighbor. This is about you. We have to come into unity and love if we're going to do what God has ordained this church to do. Do you love God? Do you love God? Do you love God? See, I know we're some busy people, and I told the leaders in the meeting this month, busy is a sin. Because when you get so busy, it takes you away from God. So every time somebody tell me that I'm real busy and I've been busy this week, I go, whoa. Because that means that they don't have time for God really to study his word and to meditate on it. So busy people today, I say seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Get up a little earlier in the morning before you get busy. And spend some time with God. This is for us this morning. This is not about anybody else. This is for us because God loves us. God loves us. And we have to know that this word truly is our weapon to defeat some things and overcome some things and things be empowered and healed in our lives. Hallelujah, God. Help me just wind this up before they leave out of here. Hallelujah, God. But I give you the word straight from heaven that God gives to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I leave this with you. If you want to live the abundant life in the midst of a hurting world and a dying world and where people are just at each other's throat, first of all, you must pick up his word. You must open his book. You must study this word. Then you must apply it. You must apply it. People of God, it's so critical that we believe it. Because I told them in Bible study last week, many people know the word. Satan knows the word. But do you believe it? That's when you are empowered. Once you have read, you studied, applied, then you believe this word. So I just leave those thoughts with you. Apply the word to your life. Apply it if you want to be whole. That's what abundance means for Jesus. He wants us to be whole. He wants us to be healed. He wants us to go out and tell somebody what he's done for us and how our lives have changed. The songwriter wrote some years ago, "In the name of Jesus," and I heard them sing that this morning. In the name of Jesus, we have the victory. So when I talk to Christians that seem to be so battered and so weighed down and so heavy, I refer them back to the book. There is nothing in life that you can experience that God can't heal. So in the name of Jesus, you have the victory. Amen and amen. It's only because of Jesus. And I'm winding down, Brother LeVar. I know you have an engagement, so I'm going to just wind this thing on down. God knew we would need Jesus. So Jesus came. He taught us how to live. He died. He got up. He ascended into heaven. But he left this word for us to teach us how to live the abundant life. So if there's any doubt whether you're living it, it has a lot to do with, are you in this word? Are you applying it and do you believe it? Let the church say amen. Let's give God some glory. Let's give God some praise because of Jesus. He made the way that we don't have to be lonely. We don't have to be depressed. We don't have to be fearful because of Jesus. God is equipping us, I believe, for a great work here. Amen. But before we can go out and do that work, we must be an example. Our lives must be an example. And when you fall, thank God you can get up and ask for forgiveness.